Good morning. Today we are in the study of Revelation part 3, and we are on lesson 5, and this lesson is about the tribulation. And we'll be studying in Matthew 24, Revelation 2, Revelation 7, Daniel 7, Daniel 9, Daniel 11 and 12, and 2 Thessalonians 2. So we have a lot to cover today, but let us begin our study in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for another day and for the blessings of this day. Thank you for your love and for your mercy. Thank you for your precious word and for our Lord and Savior, Jesus. And I pray as we study now that you will teach us through your Holy Spirit, that we will have more understanding of your word, that we may glorify your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We will start by looking at Daniel 7, verses 17 through 28. Now, all of the scripture that I have mentioned, we won't read all of the scripture, but I'll be taking parts from each scripture that I mentioned, because each one of these in the book of Daniel, Matthew, 2 Thessalonians, and Revelation are all relating to the times of tribulation. So, starting with Daniel 7, verses 17 through 28, and I'll read these. These great beasts, which are four in number, are four kings who will arise from the earth. But the saints of the highest one will receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever for all ages to come. Then I, Daniel, desired to know the exact meaning of the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron, its claws of bronze, and which devoured, crushed, and trampled down the remainder with its feet, and the meaning of the ten horns on its head, and the other horn which came up, and before which three of them fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth, uttering great boast, and which was larger in appearance than its associates. I, Daniel, kept looking, and that horn was waging war with the saints and overpowering them, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was passed in favor of the saints of the highest one, and the time arrived when the saints took possession of the kingdom. Now, I want to just try to go through that quickly and see what it is saying. Daniel had a vision of four beasts, and he asked to understand the fourth one. And this beast is a kingdom, but it's different from the other three, and it will devour the whole earth. Now, Daniel also asked for the meaning of the horn that came up among the ten horns of this fourth kingdom. And the horn represent kings. These horns all represent kings. And then the fourth kingdom had ten kings. And then another one rises and goes away with three of the ten. And he's different from the others and becomes greater than the seven that were left. And that king speaks out against the Most High, which is God, and wages war with the saints, wearing them down, until the Ancient of Days, which is God, brings judgment, and they're given into his hand for a time, times, and half time, which represents 3.5 years. Now, let's look at what happens after the time, times, and half time of Daniel 7. let's go and look at Revelation 19 through 21, and we're going to see here a timeline or a comparison. I'll read Revelation 19 through 21. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies assembled to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was seized, and with him the false prophet who performed the signs in his presence by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone, and the rest were killed with the sword which came from the mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. Now here we see that the king is judged, and he is annihilated and destroyed forever. So this is in comparison to what we read in Daniel 7. And then in looking at Revelation 20, verses 4 through 6, I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given. Now, this was John getting the vision from Jesus' angel. And he said, judgment was given to them, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their forehead and on their hand. And they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. And the rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were completed. Now this is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over these the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. So here we see that the saints receive the kingdom of God forever. And that's what we see now in this study that we have been through with, as we've studied in the book of Revelation. Now, also, let's look at some more verses that tells us about Daniel's vision, the 70 weeks and the Messiah. They were starting with verse 24, 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end, to make an atonement for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. So you are to know and discern that from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and it will be built again with plaza and moat, even in times of distress. And then after the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off. That's when Jesus was crucified. Nothing, and have nothing, and the people of the Prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary, and its end will come with a flood. Even to the end there will be war. Desolations are determined, and he will make a firm covenant with the many. In 1 week, in the middle of the week, he will put a stop to sacrifice and gain offering, and on the wing of abomination will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate. So here we see in these verses what they are about. It's about the 70 weeks that was decreed for Daniel's people, Israel, and his holy city. They were to finish the transgression. They were to make an end of sin, make atonement for iniquity, bring in everlasting righteousness, seal up the vision and the prophecy, and anoint the most holy place. So from the decree, or the word to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, that came in Nehemiah 2, 7, and then 62 of the 70 weeks will pass, and then the Messiah, the Prince, Anointed One, comes. So when Jesus came, 69 of the 70 weeks had gone by, and 1 week remains. So Messiah was cut off later. He was one cut off, and then later, Jerusalem and its sanctuary were destroyed in AD 70 by the Romans, the people of the Prince who is to come. And in verse 27 says that this Prince makes a covenant for 1 week, the 70th, with Daniel's people and city. But in the middle of the week, 3.5 of the 7 years, he stops sacrifice and gain offerings, indicating the presence of a temple. So what is happening here, if you go back to the book of Revelation, where we studied that the Antichrist comes, and he first, in the first half, the first 3.5 years, he makes a covenant with the nations and with Israel to proclaim peace. But then it tells us here in Daniel that he breaks that covenant at the middle of the 3.5 years, and he stops the sacrifice because he allows in the tribulation of the Jews to rebuild their temple, and they start worshiping and making sacrifice with animals. But here we see in the vision that Daniel had, that at the end of that time, he stopped this sacrifice. And so we know that took place also in the book of Revelation, as we've studied. So let's now look at Daniel, starting with 11th chapter and the 35th, 36th verse, going through the 12th chapter and the 13th verse. So we're going to see again that he's talking about the kings and the princes and the beast. So I'll read these verses. Then the king will do as he pleases, and will exalt and magnify himself above every god, and will speak monstrous things against the God of gods. He will prosper until the indignation is finished, for that which is decreed will be done, and he will show no regard for the gods of the fathers, or of the desire of women, or will be show or will he show regard for any other god? For he will magnify himself above them all. But instead he will honor a god of fortresses, a god whom his fathers did not know. He will honor him with gold, silver, costly stones, and treasures. He will take action against the strongest of fortresses with the help of foreign god, and he will give great honor to those who acknowledge him and cause them to rule over the many, and will parcel out land for a prize. At the end time, the king of the south will collide with him, and the king of the north will storm against him with chariots, with horsemen, and with ships, and he will enter countries and overflow them and pass through. He will enter the beautiful land, and many countries will fall, but these will be rescued out of his hand. Edom, Moab, and the foremost of the sons of Ammon. Then he will stretch out his hand against other countries, and the land of Egypt will not escape, but he will gain control over the hidden treasures of gold and silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt and Libya, and the Ethiopians will follow at his heels. But rumors from the east and from the north will disturb him, and he will go forth with great wrath to destroy and annihilate many. He will pitch the tents of his royal pavilion between the seas and the beautiful holy mountain, yet he will come to an end, and no one will help him. So that is what we see in these verses of Daniel. There's a similarity of all of these passages as they describe a world ruler at the end. The time is the end, the appointed time, when the king exercises his authority and power, and he exalts himself above all gods and speaks against the God of gods, and he has a limited amount of time until the indignation is finished. And then at the end, he will be in the beautiful land of Israel. Edom, Moab, and Ammon escape him. This is an area of modern Jordan. And the king of the south is the king of Egypt, and the north is Syria. And then he will come to an end, and no one will help him. So we see in this vision, it's referring again and in relation to the time of tribulation when the Antichrist comes and sets up himself to be a king, to be God above all. And here we see that this is a vision given to Daniel that is given the details of what's going to take place. And this was a time in Daniel when there were kings, and how that they came in and took over the land and the country. And there was a lot of persecution and a lot of tribulation. Now, there's two ways that you look at tribulation. There is a tribulation that comes upon man here at these times, in these wars and times that they're persecuted. But then there is another tribulation that's referring to the end time tribulation that takes place at the last, after the church age, after the church is raptured. That is when the tribulation of the end comes. So you need to keep that in mind, that there is a difference between the word tribulation when you see it in Scripture. It can be present time tribulation, or it can be future time. So what we're studying in comparison now is both the present and the future. So let's look and see what Daniel was given, or what we find in Revelation. Let's see if I can get to the scripture. Okay, in Daniel 12, I don't have that scripture on the screen, and I just want us to look at 12 and see what it tells us. At the time of the king, Michael, the angel of the Lord, arises. And Michael is the great prince, and he stands guard over Daniel's people, over Israel. And there's a time of great distress, and Daniel's people at that time, a time of distress that they've never seen before since they were a nation. And so that also is pertaining back to Matthew 24, when Jesus told the disciples of the tribulation in the end times. Now, Jews whose names are in the book of life are rescued. They are delivered at this time. And then one of the others in Daniel 12 says in Daniel 7, one of the others on the riverbank asked the man in the linen about the end. And that will be the last 3.5 years until the power of the holy people is shattered. And this relates back to the king of Daniel 7 and the beast of Revelation 13 that wages war with the saints and overpowers them. So many at that time are purified and refined and rescued. Now, from the time of the abomination of desolation, the abomination that makes desolate, there was 1,290 days, 30 days longer than the 1,260 in Revelation. Those who reach 1,335 days and another 45 are blessed. And since Jesus' coming ends the last 3.5 years, the extra 30 days and 45 days are within the 1,000 years of Revelation 20. So that can tell you a little bit about the difference in the number of days. Now then, let's look at Mark. Now, in Matthew 24, Jesus said that when the people in Judea, the Jews, see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place in the temple, then they must flee. And at their time, there will be a great tribulation, unlike anything since the beginning of the world. So we see that Jesus himself spoke to the Jews, to the people, and told them that there was going to be a tribulation, a great tribulation, that was going to be greater than anything in the world. So I want us to look at some scripture in Mark that say the same thing. Mark 13:19. For those days will be a time of tribulation such as has not occurred since the beginning of the creation, which God created until now and never will. So in the book of Mark, we also see Jesus speaking these words. And then in Mark 13:24 and 25 speaks of the return of Christ. Verse 24, But in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and powers that are in the heavens will be shaken. So this parallels with Daniel that says, and what John says in Revelation about the time of tribulation, it'll be a time of distress for the Jews. And it's the last 3.5 years before Jesus' second coming. Now, we're going to finish up our study today looking at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're going to see what Paul is saying to these Thessalonians as he writes this letter to them. So I'm going to start in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as it were from us, to the fact that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Do you not remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? Now this is Paul speaking to the Thessalonians. And you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he will be revealed. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. Now, the Thessalonian church had received a false message that the day of the Lord had already come. And this was causing a lot of disturbance among these Thessalonians in the church there. And so Paul writes this letter, and he instructs the Thessalonians not to be deceived. And then he tells them about things that are going to take place before the day of the Lord. First of all, he says, let no one deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first. And that word apostasy here means rebellion. And so we know that's what will take place before the Lord comes back. And then he says, and the man of lawlessness is revealed. Now we know that the man of lawlessness is speaking of the Antichrist. So what if the message is that until there is rebellion and the falling away of those that people of God, and until the lawless one, the Antichrist, reveals himself, you can know that the coming of the Lord has not yet come. It says, those who oppose and exalt himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he has taken his seat in the temple of God. So that's what we have just been studying, is about the abomination of desolation. The Antichrist, at the end of 3.5 years of the tribulation, he breaks his covenant or his promise with the nations and with Israel to keep peace. And he goes and stops them from worshiping and making sacrifice in the temple. And he goes in himself and sets himself up to be God. And no one's to worship anyone but him. They're to take his mark that was called in the book of Revelation, the mark of the beast. And so we see here, Paul says, do you remember that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? And you know what restrains him, what holds back God's coming, what is restraining him here, so that in his time he will be revealed. What is restraining or keeping the lawless one or this evil one from coming? And as you study the scriptures, you find that until the church is raptured, the Holy Spirit is here among the believers, in the hearts of the believers. And that is what is restraining the coming. The rapture will have to come to take out the restrainer, which is the Holy Spirit. And then it says the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end at his appearance. So this is what we're seeing now. In the book of 2 Thessalonians, that Paul was explaining to them, you don't be deceived by those that tell you that Christ has already come, because that's false, that's not true. And I know it's not true because the Word tells us, and Paul uses the scripture, and he says that the restrainer that keeps him from coming is still here. So don't be deceived in this. So as we studied in Revelation, the man of lawlessness will come to an end when Jesus comes and slays or kills him with the breath of his mouth. Okay, and that's what we have learned in Revelation 19 and Daniel 7. So that is where we are ending our lesson today, here in this fifth lesson about tribulation. We see in the book of Daniel, we see in the book of Revelation 2 and 7, and we saw as we studied in Matthew 24 and now in 2 Thessalonians 2, and we know that no one knows the time, the day, the hour of whenever he will come. But he pointed out to us in his word that we're to be ready. to be looking for him, because the day is coming. And he used the example of that as a thief in the night, when you're least expecting. So we need to be ready at all times for his coming, because he is coming back to set up his kingdom. And so we know that a lot of things will take place before the second coming. Now, his coming for the church is the next thing that is to take place before the tribulation begins, because those that are believers will be raptured, will be taken out, because Romans 1 scripture in the Bible tells us that there is no condemnation for those that love God and are called by his name and for his purpose. And so we know we're in the church age, and we know then the next thing that will happen will be the rapture that will take us out before the tribulation begins. So we will stop here, and then next week we're going to study more about him coming when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne. We will see how that he will rule and reign. So let us close in prayer. Father, we are looking for that day, because we know that everything has been fulfilled up to this very moment, and we're living in the church age. We are the church, the ones that Jesus is coming for. We are his bride, and we are looking every day for his coming, because we know that's the next thing that will take place before the tribulation will come upon this earth. Father, help us to be ready. Help us to be looking. Help us, Father, to be searching out those that are lost, that are not ready. And Father, I just praise you and know that you are God, that you are Lord over lords and King over kings, and that your will be done. And we pray, Father, thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.